Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. In this week's episode, we are traveling to Knoxville, Tennessee, for one of the coolest urban park cemeteries around. We are also going to be traveling to Cincinnati, Ohio, to visit a real estate magnate who once was visited by Abraham Lincoln. We're also going to be heading to Ada, Michigan, and to the Findlay Cemetery, home of the dreaded Ada Witch. We are also going to be featuring cemetery symbols, Medal of Honor moments, as well as another tale from the travel logs of the Necro Tourist from Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland, Ohio. All that and still more on another edition of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the 9th episode of the Cemetery Podcast. This is the first episode, which we are going to be debuting on a Tuesday night. So I hope you appreciate the fact that we're moving the show up a little bit. I am going to quickly address the listener emails which are coming in. Actually, the one that I am looking at right in front of me. This came in from Chris, who is in Shelbyville, Indiana. And he writes, "Our local cemetery contains, that is, Sandy Allen, the Guinness Book record holder for the tallest woman. Her grave is here. Have you ever visited?" Actually, yes, I have. As a matter of fact, we went there 2017, I'm thinking, maybe. She is at Forest Hill, which is in the area there. She, as a matter of fact, she is, interestingly, 7'7" tall. And the cool thing about her grave is there is a marker with her name, and then there is a bench for you to reflect on that is exactly 7 feet 7 inches tall from her grave. So yeah, if you're in that area, you definitely need to visit that. That's pretty cool. Okay, I'm also going to answer this second email, which comes from Jack from Glenmont, New York. "How can you tell a Medal of Honor grave from other military markers?" Okay, this is not always as easy as you might think. Okay, there's a couple of ways you can tell, but often they are marked. Now, if you are at a military cemetery, then it's easy because you can actually look at the grave finder if you like. Also, usually they will have the Medal of Honor markings done in gold. Also, at some cemeteries, they have blue Medal of Honor flags. So those are really the main ways. Obviously, like I said, if you're at a military cemetery, it's easy because you can look them up in the grave finder. But very specifically, like I said, the blue flags, or kind of keep your eyes peeled as you're going over them, because Medal of Honor recipients will very often have gold lettering. So there you go. That's some of the things that you can do. Okay, those are this week's emails, and if you would like to get your email answered, then all you need to do is contact us. We will have a variety of ways listed on the website, but just go ahead and send us an email, and we will answer them.
Would you like to get your email answered? Well, it's simple. All you need to do is email the Necro Tourist at thenecrotourist@thefuneralsource.org.
Hello, boys and girls. Today's cemetery symbol is the pine cone. The pine cone is a symbol of human enlightenment. Just like the evergreen, it stands for resurrection, eternal life, and regeneration. It also stands for mortality. Conifers are some of the oldest known forms of plant life on the earth, and they stand for endless life. And the pine cone is the seed for eternal life. That's today's cemetery symbol. I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the feature cemetery segment. And for this adventure, we are traveling to Knoxville, Tennessee, in the heart of Knox County. And we are heading to the Old Gray Cemetery. It was also known as the Gray Cemetery until 1892, when the new cemetery was opened. It was established in 1850, and it was dedicated in 1852. It is the second oldest cemetery in Knoxville. It is 13 acres, and it was added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 1996, and it is a classic example of an urban garden park cemetery. Now, one of the interesting things about it, when you first go into the cemetery, right behind the fountain, you will see several adversaries that are buried within eyeshot of each other. Most well known is the Knoxville businessman Joseph Marbury and his son Joseph Marbury III, and the Mechanics National Bank president Thomas O'Connor, all three who were killed in an 1882 shootout and buried right there amongst each other. This story was actually discussed in Mark Twain's Life on the Mississippi. Also in the area is pro-unionist William Parson Brownlow, who was a governor and a senator, and right across from him was processionist John Crozier. He was also a congressman. These guys are literally right across the street from each other. Also, Union Army Major Eldad Camp and Confederate Colonel Henry Ashby. Ashby was killed in a scuffle with Camp in downtown Knoxville in 1868. Also, other famous graves that you'll find there is Lizzie Crozier French. She was a woman suffragist leader. Peter Kern, who was the mayor of Knoxville and the founder of Kern's Bakery. There is also Charles McClung, who was a pioneer survivor who actually laid out Knoxville in the 1790s. His grave was moved there by his descendants in 1904. There's also Charles McGee Tyson, who was a World War I pilot who was shot down and killed while patrolling the North Sea in 1918, and he later became the namesake for McGee Tyson Airport. Also, you'll find Catherine Wiley, who died in 1958. She was an impressionist portrait artist. Also, you can find Enoch Branson, who was also an artist and a teacher. Now, if you're in the Knoxville area, this is definitely a cemetery that you need to visit. The layout is pretty nice. There's a lot of old trees. There's a lot of statuary. There's very interesting things around. There's a few mausoleums. Some of them are in the ground. Some of them are in hillsides. It's a wide variety of styles, and it's a really great cemetery. In the future, I will tell a story about our two visits to Old Gray. One of them was very pleasant. One of them was not. But that certainly is for another day. But if you are in Tennessee or in the Knoxville area, you need to add the Old Gray to your list of places to visit, because it is a landmark in the Knoxville area. Hey, Necro Travelers, are you aware that the Necro Tourist does private tours at cemeteries around the Cincinnati area? Not only Cincinnati, but we do tours at cemeteries all around the Midwest, to include Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Lexington, and more. Be sure to visit our website, or you can find us on TripAdvisor. Cemetery tours at the Wesleyan Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cincinnati. You can learn some history, and you can have yourself a good time on a cemetery tour with the Necro Tourist. All right, welcome back to the show, Necro Travelers. Right now, I am going to tell you a tale of mystery, hauntings, and witches. And this is the tale from Findlay Cemetery in Ada, Michigan, in Kent County, the home of the Ada Witch. So it's been said that in the 19th century, there was a woman who was cheating on her husband. And one night, when he caught her and her man, he was so enraged that he killed her. And then he fought so long with the other man that they both ended up dying of their wounds. Now it is said that this lady appears in the road and in the cemetery wearing a blue dress. Others say that there are bluish green mists, and some hear footsteps and screaming. Some people have heard the sounds of fighting. Others have heard the sounds of a lady weeping. And some have even been physically touched by what they said are hands. And when they turn, there's no one there. Now this is the origin of the legend of the Ada Witch. And many people have went to visit the home of the Ada Witch. Now years ago, there was a repaired stone in the center of the cemetery that got pegged as the Ada Witch's stone. So many people started to leave trinkets and gifts for the witch. And when Blair Witch came out, you remember the Blair Witch movie, the crazy, we're being chased by a witch movie? When that came around in 99, it spawned so many more people around the country to get into their local witch legends. And the Ada Witch had even more people visiting. And not only were they leaving trinkets, many of those people were also beginning to take a trinket. Because the stone was already in poor condition to begin with. And so many people had chipped away from the marble on the headstone that there was virtually nothing left. So in 2013, the cemetery had decided that it was time to replace the stone. But when they did, they wanted to make sure they had their information correct and accurate so that the stone could be replaced properly. So after research, that they found that the stone actually belonged to Sarah McMillan. And Sarah was a woman who had died at the age of 29. But she didn't die at the hands of her husband. She died of typhoid fever. And she was not a witch at all. Since they have replaced the stone, most people don't believe that she's the witch at all. So this time we'll see if her stone stays intact. I know that when we visited her, strange things were happening at Sarah's grave. Many people still claim to see the witch, and they still claim to see the lady in white, whether the stone of Sarah McMillan's, who never really was the witch, or whether it's the grave of someone else who is the Ada Witch of the Findlay Cemetery.
Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery Podcast.
Join us each week as we explore old cemeteries and the stories of the people buried in them.
It's history, it's spooky, it's good old-fashioned undead fun for the whole family. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, I'm going to jump into what is the famous grave segment of the show. And this one is kind of a twofer on this one, because not only is the guy famous, but his grave marker is equally famous. And we are going to be focusing on a Cincinnati resident who died and is buried at the Spring Grove Cemetery in Cincinnati. The man's name is Jacob Hoffner. Jacob Hoffner was born in 1799 and he died in 1894. He emigrated from Cincinnati in 1805 from Pennsylvania via covered wagon. Nice way to travel when you're a young boy. However, his family settled in Cumminsville, which is the current Cincinnati neighborhood known as Northside. As an adult, he was a well-known real estate man and a business speculator. In 1836, he purchased a 400-acre estate from David Cummins and Ezekiel Hutchinson. Now, Hoffner was known for collecting animal statues from Europe that were placed in his gardens. And his gardens were world-renowned. Actually, even Abraham Lincoln, prior to him running for president, this is back when he was still practicing law, he came to Cincinnati for a federal case. And when he did, he stopped by in 1855 to admire Hoffner's gardens. Several of the things that he had in the gardens, like the four eagles that he had, are currently in Eden Park, which is one of the notorious parks in the Cincinnati area. Those are Mick and Mac, and those are the lions that are based on statuary that's located in Florence, Italy. Now, the reason why Mick and Mac are important, because they were later moved to the burial location of Jacob Hoffner. But they were moved there after his second wife died in a steamer fire, which led to the current legendary marker that Hoffner has. See, when you approach the Hoffner marker, there is a pathway that goes up, and it leads you to a stairway that are surrounded by Mick and Mac, those two lions, on the edges of the staircase. Now, as you proceed up the steep staircase, when you get to the top, you will then see a chapel-like design with a statue inside. This monument was designed by John Hershaw, and it was carved from Italian marble by an Irish stonecutter. His name was Charles Rule. It is a representation of a Gothic shrine, and the statue in the middle is a copy of another statue located in Florence. When Jacob Hoffner died in 1894, at the age of 94, he was believed to be the oldest Mason west of the Mississippi. In 1889, his parents were also moved to this impressive site. If you go to Spring Grove, you must visit the grave of Jacob Hoffner. The statue is impressive, the shrine is impressive, the lions are a must-see, the trek maybe a little rough on you, but it's worth the climb. And also, if you know somebody, maybe they'll show you the back way around so you don't have to climb. But if you don't make the climb, you miss out on some of the beauty and the magnificence of the Jacob Hoffner grave located at the Spring Grove Cemetery. Add it to your Necro Traveler bucket list. This week's Medal of Honor moment goes to William Horsfall, who served as a drummer in the U.S. Army during the Civil War. He was born March 3, 1847, and after running away at the age of 14, Horsfall enlisted in the U.S. Army and served as a drummer in the 1st Kentucky Infantry. During the Battle of Corinth in Mississippi on May 21, 1862, Horsfall risked his life and saved a wounded officer who was lying between the lines. The 15-year-old was awarded the United States military's highest Medal of Honor for his actions, making him the youngest Kentuckian to ever receive it to date. He received the award in 1895. After his heroic actions in Corinth, Horsfall continued to serve in the 1st Kentucky and participated in numerous battles. In 1863, he was captured and held at the infamous Andersonville prison camp in Georgia. But in 1864, he returned home to Newport, Kentucky, where he enlisted in the Veterans Reserve Unit in Cincinnati. He eventually became the commander of the William Nelson Grand Army of the Republic post in Newport. Horsfall died in 1922 at the age of 75, and he is buried in the Evergreen Cemetery in Southgate, Kentucky, in Campbell County.
Be sure to check out the NecroTourist at all of your favorite social media outlets. Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter, you think of it, we're there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's adventure and tale from the NecroTourist travelogues is from our first visit to the Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, for those of you that have not been there, it is located in the metro area of Cleveland in Cuyahoga County or Cuyahoga County, depending upon which part of the area you're from. I've heard it pronounced numerous ways. I call it Cuyahoga, but I'm partially Native American, so you can't criticize me on it. It's my perception. Anyway, so I will take you back. This actually happened in 2014, and I was traveling to Cleveland with one of my usual traveling partners. You've probably heard me talk about him before if you've been on the show, Senior Bull. He and I were actually traveling to Cleveland, which is actually where he's originally from, but he's not really from downtown Cleveland. Nobody is. He's from originally from the far west suburbs of Cleveland, really out more in the country so much than the suburbs. So that being said, we were in town, and this was still part of the funeral source, and we had decided to go down and check out the cemetery itself because he had never been there despite growing up there. And we were actually there to target a few things. Number one, we wanted to see James Garfield's tomb, because for those that don't know, President James Garfield is buried there, and he has arguably the most impressive tomb. And I've now seen upwards of 22 presidents that we have, and Garfield, if he's not the top, he is certainly in the top three. He alone is a reason to go there. Now, there's a variety of things there. Famous people are buried there. We were there getting Elliot Ness. He was there. Alan Freed was there. We were there for a variety of reasons, but we didn't have a large window because we were actually there for one of his family's celebration. Actually, as a matter of fact, it was one of his niece's graduation parties. So we really had a small window of when we could visit the cemetery. And if you knew, you know, if you visit there up in the area where I'm talking about, where James Garfield's grave is, it's near the top of the hill. Now, most of you that have been to a cemetery, you know the elite are usually at the top of the biggest hill. And that's who it is. You found people there like Higbee. If you're local, that's from the Higbee's department store chain. The Gliddens of Glidden Paint fame. People of this nature are buried at the top of the hill and right next to the president. So we were shooting a lot of graves up at the top. There's a lot of amazing statuary up there. There is so many things you need to see at Lakeview, and it's what you need to do. Now, the reason I want to tell you about this is, as I said, we had very limited time, but we didn't arrive there until later in the afternoon. So Lakeview is a cemetery that closes early. They lock their gates and they have security. So you have to be out of Lakeview by close of business. But let me tell you, of all the things that many of you go there for, and maybe you're like me, I went there looking for one thing, but I couldn't find it in almost 2 hours of us being there. And it was none other than the Angel of Death herself, but the Hasserot Angel. And it was making me crazy that we were all over the place looking for this thing and we could not find it. I mean, we were finding all kinds of other amazing graves and continuing to shoot. We found Mayor Stokes, all kinds of people as we're moving around. but we still can't find the angel. And we're getting closer and closer to gate closing. And you know, some of you who have been cemetery, you know when there's security in the bigger cemeteries, that circle of guards that start circling you, almost herding you towards the front gate. At this point, I am frustrated because it is the only real reason I'm there. This is so early in my cemetery hunting days. I was still just looking for... I went there looking for four things. I found three. The angel needed to be found. Finally, we're down near the bottom, near the front, and security is hurting us, and I just stop. I tell Bull, I said, I gotta get out of the car. I jump out to the security guard, and I say, look, security guard, I said, look, man, I came here looking for something. I know it's closing time, but I said, I'm all the way up here from Cincinnati, please. I said, can you tell me where I can find this Hasserot angel? Security guard goes, absolutely. He goes, look, it's right up there, and he points up over his shoulder, and he says, if you go up this hill just a little ways, it'll be off to your right, right across from the mausoleum with the Tiffany windows, the Wade Chapel, that's what it was. And I was super happy, and I said, look, sir, I said, if you let me go up and shoot the angel, the second we're done, we are in the car and out the door. And he said, no problem. This is already after its closing time. So, myself, Senior Bull, we walked up to the angel. We shot as many photos as we possibly could. It was an amazing experience. It is a monument that I sought after. It's still one of the top 10 monuments and goals and targets that I've ever had in all my days of cemetery hunting. And I'm going to tell you, if you, like me, almost leave Lakeview without seeing the Angel of Death, then shame on you. All I'm going to say to you is find the angel first. Go to the president second. That's my tip to you. And that's my story from the Lakeview Cemetery, is that I am happy after some of the other stories I've told you and some of the other stories that I will tell you in the future, that when it comes to the security and the people at Lakeview Cemetery, my hat is off to them, because they made my experience better. And if you visit the Lakeview Cemetery, you can have a great experience, and be sure that you add that to your Necro Traveler's bucket list.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
All right. I want to thank everybody for joining me for this week's episode of the Cemetery Podcast. I'd like to thank the participants, which is Senior Bull and Charlotte Graves, who is my traveling partner, associate producer, and everything else. So, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to join us back here next Tuesday for the 10th edition of the Cemetery Podcast. So, check us out online, visit us on the websites, and until next time, this is Ken Negley for the Necro Tourist saying, I'll see you in the yard.